I'd like to today start with a topic called the journey of life. And the focus of this journey, or the focus of these talks, will be based on the ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha, which we recite every single day in our salah. And this is a dua which is, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us on the right path. Now the very fact that we say guide us on the right path implies a journey. So first let's look at what is a journey. And the definition of a journey is the act of travelling from one place to another. And so the first step is to identify where one wants to go. There's a wonderful anecdote in Alice in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll, where one day Alice comes to a fork in the road and she sees a Cheshire cat on a tree. And she asks the cat, "Which road do I take?" And the cat says, "Where do you want to go?" And she says, "I don't know." And so he says, "Then it doesn't matter." And it's quite important that one identifies a destination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, وَلِكُلِّ وِجْهَةٍ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Every existence has a goal. So seek the best of goals. When we do not identify a destination, then really life is agitation. One place to another, and there is no peace or certainty. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam explains the ayah, saying, it means, guide us to adhere to the path which leads to your love, Ya Allah, and conveys us to your Jannah. You know, everywhere in the world where you look, in boardrooms all over the world, executives ponder over their mission statements, and often they spend thousands of pounds to ensure that a purpose is achieved, where all aspects of their company are on the same page. That means when you have a goal, then everything you do in life sort of focuses towards that goal, and that becomes a sort of mission in your life. And in essence, really, it is finding oneself. Imam Ali alayhi salam has said, "Man arafa nafsahu faqad arafa rabbahu." One who has recognized himself or herself has recognized his or her Rabb. So first, let's define who is a Rabb. There really, in the English language, there is no equivalent translation to a Rabb, but it comes from the root word Rabbaba, which means one who cultivates, one who refines, one who teaches. It could also be owner. Abu Talib, when he went to Abraha and he asked for his camels back, remember in that story, Abraha is out there to destroy the Kaaba. But on the way there, he steals some of the camels that belong to Abu Talib. And Abu Talib goes back to claim his camels. And Abraha says, "You know, I've come to destroy the Kaaba, and you're only worried about your camels." And he says, the house, the bait, has a Rabb. He defines Allah as Rabbul Kaaba. He will look after it himself. But I am the owner of my camels, and I want you to give my camels back. A Rabb is also one who elevates and cultivates his creation step by step towards perfection. And the perfection, or the goal of perfection, needs to be one that we identify for ourselves. You know, the origin of everything, the bada of everything, is not the same as its return. Look at a seed in progress and look at its progress. Look at the conception of a child. Look at the result. It's a human being. So really, the first question to ask when we're looking for this destination is to ask oneself, what is my aspiration of Jannah? What do I look at as success or perfection when in my adhan I say, Hayya ala al-falah, hurry to success. And then subsequently I say in my salah, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Because that concept, whenever I say Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, the focus should be the aspiration that I held when I declared, Hayya ala al-falah, hurry to success. My favorite dua is a dua from Imam Ali, which provides me the focus in my life. And the dua goes, Ilahi kafa bi'izzan an akuna laka abdan. Oh my God, it is sufficient pride for me that I am your abd, that I am connected to you. Wa kafa bi fakhran an takuna li rabban. And it is sufficient honor for me that you are my Rabb. Anta kama uhib, faj'alni kama tahib. You are as I would love you to be. Make me as you would love me to be. And that basically gives me the focus of my life, to be that which he loves me to be. And that's what we'll investigate on this journey, to find out what he would love me to be. It's a wonderful book I was reading, based on a poem by Attar. He's a 12th century poet from Nishapur. And the poem he's written is called Mantiq al-Tayr, which means the conference of the birds. Let's just talk a little bit about him first. Fareeddin Attar was born during the 12th century in Nishapur. And he was educated at the theological school which was attached to the shrine of Imam Ridha alayhi salam in Mashhad. He is known to have traveled to many places, Egypt, Damascus, Mecca, India. And then after his travels, he settled down in his hometown where he had a pharmacy. And there he wrote his poems. This poem is absolutely awesome, and it sort of talks about the journey of the birds. In essence, it talks about the birds of the world who had gathered together to seek a king who would direct them. And they're advised by the Hudhud, the hoopoe bird, of the great king called Simorgh, who lives far and the journey to get to him being hazardous. Well, in the beginning, all these birds are enthusiastic to begin their search. But when they realize how difficult the journey will be, they start to make excuses. The nightingale, for example, says that she cannot leave the beloved rose she sings for. The hoopoe explains to her through an anecdote about a dervish and a beautiful woman of the foolishness of such love which is not reciprocated. The hawk, for example, tells that I'm satisfied with my position in the court of kings. And the hoopoe has to answer and say, you know, this is basically something that is temporal. One by one, they give their fears. For example, the little finch says she's so scared even to start out. And Attar has written the poem whereby the hoopoe answers their fears with anecdotes. There's one who said, she has sinned, how can she be accepted by the king? And a total of 22 birds in this story speak out with excuses. And the group eventually set out, and the hoopoe is asked questions about the way. And he talks about this journey where there's 7 valleys to cross, the valley of quest, the valley of love, the valley of understanding, independence and detachment, unity, astonishment, and also poverty and nothingness. And out of the thousands of birds, only 30 reach the end of the journey. And when they reach their destination, they are at peace and they become aware that there is a Simorgh between them. In essence, it's a lake. And when they look at the lake, they see a reflection of themselves, the 30 of them and their own. And they realize that Simorgh actually means sea, which is 30, Morgh, which is birds, 30 birds. So basically what they've learned is the king, the guide, what they were looking for, they were searching for, is really within yourself. In essence, what Attar does is say, so long as you don't realize your nothingness and you don't renounce your self-pride and vanity and self-love, you cannot reach the heights of immortality. And he concludes the epilogue with the admonition that if you wish to find the ocean of your soul, then die to all of your old life. The journey, as I mentioned, is really the journey of who am I? The theorist Erik Erikson coined the term identity crisis and believed that it was one of the most important conflicts people face in development. According to him, an identity crisis is a time of intense analysis and exploration of different ways of looking at oneself. If we look at his life, he says his interest in his identity began in childhood. He was raised Jewish, but appeared very Scandinavian, and he thought he was an outsider in both groups. Today, this problem is really accentuated because in a generation that uses internet for everything, they don't know a world unless they surf online, and they're really growing up with a dangerous view of the world and their own identity. We find that they can actually, with a click of a mouse, end a relationship. And also because of the online social networking, the real world seems boring, unstimulating. And it's important that we understand the reality of life when we're looking for this identity. Inshallah, we will continue with this journey of finding ourselves and coming up on اهدنا الصراط المستقيم.